Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I've been watching the real estate market, and we hear good things. Scott and I talk about it, you know, it picking up, and then we hear, well, maybe it's because of inventory's down, or the prices are going up because there's not enough to sell, or and then I talk to my friends that are in the real estate and brokerage business, and they say, well, no, we're doing great, or no, they're still concerned. So I thought what I would do for you today is bring in an expert. Why not do that? That's a good idea. And so I know a gentleman who is in this area, in the Ormond Beach area. And for those of you listening around the country or wherever you may be, that's East Coast of Florida. And his name is Albert Livingston. And the name of his company is Sterling Investment Advisors. And the website, you can refer to that later, sterlingadvisors.net, sterlingadvisors.net. Albert, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, David.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, one of the things that struck me about you, Albert, when we were talking a little bit, Albert and I go to the same church, by the way, and that's how we got to talking. And a thing that struck me was when Albert started talking to me, he didn't talk to me like a maybe somebody who's a, more of a transactional or as a broker. You just use different terminology. And so something struck me about that. And I said, well, there's something to this, Albert. I need to get to know him a little bit and understand more about what you do. So let me give a little bit of your resume here to our listeners, and you can add to that and
sure.
Distinguish a lot of designations in education, professional engineer, certified commercial investment member, leadership in energy and environmental design. That's that LEED group they do, they call
it. Right,
that.
LEED AP.
Okay. And then you started Sterling Advisors back in 2009. You saw a lot of troubled assets in the market and really a need to have some sort of real estate solutions to stabilize those assets. And then you do a lot of management of property. Looks like you've, if I'm reading this right, is this right? 1 million square feet of office product?
Sure. Yes. Over a 20-year period, I've been in the real estate industry, and I've worked on the asset management side, development and acquisitions throughout the Southeast, primarily office product, but I've done a lot of retail, raw land, value-added repositioning of properties, and right now oversee a portfolio of land and office in the Boca market.
Okay, very good. And so you've seen a lot of different things with not only the different types of real estate, with commercial, residential, retail, all the different things. So I thought it'd be helpful for our listeners to understand, kind of get the skinny here. And I'll start with a really big general question. What's your view of the real estate market? We're into 2013, going into 2013 in the next couple of years.
Well, I think you can see pluses and minuses depending on what segment you're in. You know, for the most part, we've probably reached the bottom on loss of occupancy, a loss of value, and we're starting to see it turn a corner. As I talk to my friends across Florida, we're seeing the economy come back, probably from Miami, working its way up the coast, and then into Orlando, Tampa, and then probably on the back end would be Jacksonville.
That's interesting. So it's kind of going from, it's filling from the bottom up.
Right.
Why is there any rhyme or reason for that?
You know, I hear a lot of people talking about it. Just probably our largest market is Miami.
Okay.
And as you see, the Panama Canal finished completion of its expansion. Miami Port is starting to get ready for those Panamax ships that come in. And so you've got industrial product that's starting to respond to that. You have people moving into the South Florida market, buying the condos, and the supply of condo units that was a glut in that market years ago. Hmm. You're starting to see the retail come back in that 24-hour city district. And that spur of economy is starting to push up the coast.
Interesting. So a couple of things happening there that could really just kind of jumpstart a shot of adrenaline for that South Florida market that could have some ripple effects as it kind of hits the overall Florida economy.
Right. Also, you've seen tourism come back. I think over the last three or four quarters, tourism has been
That's up. Very welcome.
In addition, unemployment has stabilized and is starting to go down. So job creation is slowly coming back as well.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. If you're just joining us, we have Albert Livingston in the studio with us today, sterlingadvisors.net, and I got a telephone number for you if you want to talk to Albert about maybe some consulting, which we're going to talk about after the break, what that's all about, 205-533-1250, and it's sterlingadvisors.net. Short break. We'll be right back with Albert Livingston. Stay tuned.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, we have Albert Livingston with us. The website is sterlingadvisors.net. .net, not .com, sterlingadvisors.net. Now, one of the things that attracted me to talk to Albert about having him on the program is a little just a different lingo I heard out of his voice, and also some of the different things he described as services. It sounds like you do a lot of consulting work. Here's the bottom line question. When would somebody call you as opposed to maybe a broker or a realtor they bump into? When would they call you? What kind of work would you be able to help them with?
Okay, from a consulting standpoint, you know, I would be talking to an owner of a piece of land or a building. They had questions on what's the best way to maximize my return here, what could be the highest and best use here. They may not have the real estate sophistication to handle taking it through a development process or re-entitling land. You know, suppose it's a piece of farmland or a piece of retail land that could be used as a multifamily piece of property. I'd be able to walk them through that process of changing the land designation. I could guide them in taking them through the debt and equity side of actually taking the project from concept through to financing and construction, hiring the right real estate professionals, whether it's a contractor, an architect, a broker to lease up the space, or whoever, but put that team together and take them through the process of repositioning, developing, or adding value to their property or land.
Very cool. Okay, so that's a major distinction from, say, somebody says, okay, I need a broker to come sell this piece of property for me. It's really a lot about development and maximizing use, really, as you described earlier, managing assets.
Right, managing assets, creating value.
Very good.
For that individual.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense. That obviously dovetails very much into what I do here with financial work for people and helping them with their money. Now, you mentioned a couple of things there that I want to come back to. We talk about outlook for the real estate industry, and I know you've been looking a lot at what's expected for 2013. What about, let's go maybe through a couple of specifics. We've heard a lot about multifamily buildings, apartments, principally. What's happening with apartments? Are they filling up? Is there a really strong demand, or is it what's the outlook there for somebody maybe thinking, well, I'm going to buy one, or I'm going to sell one? Or
sure, yeah, the demand for apartments is strong right now, or multifamily. From an investment standpoint, investors are able to look at it as there's a shortage of these units in the marketplace. They're able to see that financing is available for this product type. And so there's a demand on the investor side. From a use standpoint, you have a lot of young professionals coming out of school that aren't looking to buy a home. You have empty nesters that are looking to downsize. And you have people that have gone through the foreclosure process and aren't able to buy a home, or are at a point where they don't feel secure enough to buy a home. So there's a lot of demand generators that are pushing people into the multifamily market right now.
Is there a lot of competition for, say, somebody's got an apartment and they're thinking of selling it? Is there's a lot of demand, so there's a lot of competition for people that might be interested in buying it. So if you have if somebody's thinking about selling an apartment, I guess now would be a good time to sell it.
Sure.
Apartment complex.
Right. The outlook for the apartment complex is it's going to remain strong for the next 18 to 24 months. If you're looking to exit the market, this would
now
be
the
time for it.
All right. Very good. Now, if I go to more on the single family, now we're talking about residential.
Sure.
Primarily, that's still a buyer's market. Still a lot of people that need to sell and haven't been able to sell, so cash is king, as they say.
Right. Yeah, I think if you look nationally, you will find some pockets of neighborhoods and affluent areas where there's maybe been a bottoming out and a significant return of value. Where there's demand, but for the most part, it still remains sluggish. Banks are starting to push through their foreclosure product, and it's starting to move. So you are starting to see things move in the market. And then you've got the national home builders are coming into the market and are actually starting to build new homes now.
So they're seeing enough demand for them to gear back up and start really cranking out homes again.
Right. Where they're seeing the demand is, one, they're able to buy the entitled lots at a price low enough that they can come in the market, build a new home, and sell it at or below the price that the bank's trying to move a foreclosure for, and the buyer doesn't have to put up with the issues that come with a home that's been foreclosed upon.
Makes sense. Albert Livingston is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. SterlingAdvisors.net. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Albert and I were talking on the break about some of the stuff going on in the real estate market. You almost caught us. All right, so let's get back to this. Albert Livingston, our guest, SterlingAdvisors.net. And we've talked about some of the different segments of the market. You know, you mentioned some of them doing better than others, Albert. Next one I wanted to ask you about is industrial. Now, we don't maybe have as much industrial properties here on the east coast of Florida, but of course, those people listening all over the state or in the around the country, what's happening with industrial? What do we see there? You mentioned South Florida, some of that.
Right, and I think that as industrial starts to come back, you're going to see the different ports pick up first, and you're going to see them competing for users coming into their market. Some of the things to look out for are e-commerce. As e-commerce users continue to grow, they're going to start taking over a larger segment of that market. And then as logistics change for how product is shipped around the U.S., you're going to start looking at some of these older buildings and see how they're functionally obsolescent and just don't work with new stacking and crates and transportation systems that are out there and coming to the market over the next decade. So there'll be maybe a need to reposition, renovate, or tear down some of those older industrial properties.
Some of that repurposing and retitling or redirecting.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. And how about, I guess, kind of related to that, retail space? And you kind of, I guess, kind of office and retail, do those kind of go together?
Well, you've got retail. Retail demand has started to come back. As you look out and you see these strip centers that had the vacant big boxes, a lot of those big boxes have since been filled up.
I've noticed that.
So I think a lot of that backfilling has been completed. And so I don't see that there's going to be a huge continued momentum in retail. I think a lot of the problems have been fixed. I hear from my retail friends that there's a lot of demand for smaller retail spaces and maybe more in the high end locations that are in 24-hour use districts, and you're starting to see the higher end buyer come back and starting to spend their money.
Very interesting.
As far as office, where we're seeing a lot of the growth, or where you can see some growth, is in markets where you've got medical, education, or technology users. I'm also hearing about growth in the energy sectors, so markets that have natural gas or alternative energy sectors in them. One of the things that we're looking at in the office market is long-term, as you've got new technology rolling in, how are you seeing office space users adapt to it? So you've got Wi-Fi, people working at home, and using less and less space in the office market. So there continues to be downsizing and just the way people look at using office space in the marketplace.
Well, yeah, a lot with the technology today, a lot more people can work from home. Some people work just literally on the fly with their mobile and their iPad, and it just gets faster and smaller all the time.
It does.
It's amazing. Doesn't take the place for face-to-face, as I can tell you, working with people as I do, but the needs for office space definitely have changed. And then what about just plain old raw land? What do you see there?
I think that you're starting to see investors come back to the market. that are looking at this raw land at prices where they feel they can buy it and can hold it for 10, 15 years, wait until the market comes back,
wow,
and make a decent profit on it.
Yeah, that's an excellent example, Albert, because you know the typical quote-unquote individual investor, they just may not be able to do that. They may make no sense, but that might be something that an investment group or a real estate investment trust or an investment properties investment mutual fund or something that might be doing that and having a 10 to 15 year waiting period.
Correct.
Wow.
And I think a lot of it also is, you know, in the 2003 to 2006 range, investors became used to seeing double-digit returns. And now they're realizing that a stabilized property or some land that you hold it for a long time, that 7 or 8%, which is kind of the traditional returns on real estate, is a good risk-adjusted return.
We'll take that. That would be good. I think a lot of people would be happy with that these days. If you're just joining us, Albert Livingston is in the studio with me today, sterlingadvisors.net. We're going to take a short break, come back, and talk about some of the trends that Albert sees in the market and what things look like going forward. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. Albert Livingston's with me, and we're talking about a variety of things in the real estate market, really looking at it from an investment standpoint and how that affects, well, it affects all of us. So one of the next things we wanted to talk about is trends. And you know, there's a lot of different things we could talk about there, Albert. I think a couple of the ones that we've talked about already, technology, but we still have some of the weak job growth and maybe even some reduced demand. Let's start with reduced demand. Where are you seeing reductions in demand? What's that happening with?
Well, as I'm talking with guys out there, whether it's apartment guys, retail, or office, all of the users are willing to take a little less space, and they'll sacrifice a space for location. So if they can be closer to a transportation hub, if they can be closer to their clients, they're willing to take that smaller space in return for the location.
That's interesting. So the choice is revenue, top line growth over luxuries or, you know, whatever they may have to deal with in terms of having a smaller space.
Right. And as you're seeing companies come back and start to grow, you know, the bottom line is a lot more on people's minds right now than it was in the past. So they're looking at how to reduce costs, how to grow effectively, how to make the most of what they've got in their office or retail use.
And the job growth, you think we're still going to see continued weakness there?
As I look at what people are saying, it's kind of a slow recovery. You know, we hear that every day in the news.
You have that conversation and you talk about it. And one of the things I see is that you've got the slow job growth. And at the same time, technology is just growing and getting faster and smaller every day. So there's a bit of, you know, one person can do the work of three because of technology. It's like the technology helps in a lot of ways, but it's also obviously affecting the number of jobs that are being created because they're doing more with less.
Right. And then also, as you talk with guys that have companies, if they're in the technology sector, they are looking for qualified candidates that are out there that can come and fill a position, whether it's writing computer program, whether it's working on the technology, medical technology side, or whatever that technology-specific thing is that they're working on.
And I guess some of what we said there is that's that compactness or efficiency you talk about, you know, where businesses are trying to be more efficient with how they operate.
Right. I think if you looked at the heyday of the market, people liked opulent, wide-open lobbies with granite and you know, wooden panels. And today, I think people are trying to send out an image of cost-conscious, and that rolls into how they're building out their space and what kind of image they want to show their clients.
All that's reflected in how they present themselves to the customer.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. And talk about a little bit more about, you see this as a trend in terms of properties being renovated and repositioned for another use.
Right. As you look in a market, you can see empty buildings that are in prime locations. And we talked about wanting to be in that location. You're seeing people come in and switch an old showroom into office use or a new retail use. You're seeing that empty lot that had been overlooked for years and years get developed just outside of a city center versus somebody developing something 5 miles outside of town. And you're seeing infill and adaptive reuse to some of those older buildings that are in the right locations.
That's all good stuff. That's what we want to see. Get that stuff utilized and to work and get it paying taxes, which is good for everybody and good for our economy. Well, if you just joined us, you missed a good interview. You'll have to check it out on my website, davidholland.com. I had Albert Livingston with me today, sterlingadvisors.net. Albert, thanks for coming on and giving us an update.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, very welcome. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.